everyone. Welcome into the Fantasy Bros Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Sylvester, and we've got a great guest on today. It is the Jason Stark, senior baseball writer at The Athletic. He's in studio at MLB Network, and of course, he won the 2019 Spink Award. You can follow him on Twitter if you don't already, at JasonST, and I'm at Bobby Fantasy Pro. Jason, thanks for coming to the show. How are you doing?
You know, Bobby, that's kind of a trick question these days, but
right.
I think I'm doing well. Just living here in the alternative universe, but all good and healthy. How about you?
Same thing, right? But I'm doing a lot better this week because this is the first show in a while where I felt like, okay, baseball might actually be starting soon. Because we're hearing some rumblings that, you know, it could be July 1st, and maybe it's leaking out from some sources that they haven't checked to make sure that it's right. But are you hearing anything otherwise? Is July likely going to happen? Is this just the proposal that's being thrown out to the players right now?
I'll put it this way. In a best case world, that's what they would like to see happen. Spring training starting in about a month for 3 or 4 weeks, and then a season that could start early July and theoretically go 100 games with an expanded postseason. I mean, they've definitely done a lot of work on that concept and that time frame. But I'm just going to caution you that they're still buying time. You know, I don't know what the weather's like where you are right now, but if I look out my window, it's gray, it's wet, it's a little hard to see, and that's really where we are. It's hard to see exactly where this is going. So somebody told me this week they could still go to spring training 2.0 and not know exactly where they're going from there. That's the truth. Lots of different stuff is out there. None of it is etched in stone. None of it. It's all some combination of hopes and plans and dreams. And they could literally be figuring this out during spring training. So just hang in there.
Yeah. And everyone who listens to my show now knows I'm an ever optimist. So maybe I don't really have a responsible view. I'm just crossing my fingers, hoping. And regardless, we're going to prepare for fantasy baseball because hopefully we'll be doing our drafts in about a month. And today we're going to be talking about mid-round targets. Jason and I each have about 10 of them that we're going to cruise through. You know, players being drafted in the 8th to 16th, 17th round. And so we're just going to go back and forth and share some guys that we like. Now I'm looking over Jason's list right now, and it is very similar to the list I would have compiled if I hadn't seen his first. Now, there's a couple that I'm hoping he'll be able to talk me into. This time last year, actually, I guess we had already been playing baseball, but Jason came on in the preseason, and we were talking about Jorge Soler potentially breaking out, and that one came true, so hopefully we can nail a couple more. All right, guys, before we jump into the show, I want to say congratulations to Chris from South Carolina for winning the signed Fernando Tatis Jr. baseball bat. And we've actually got two new giveaways going on right now. Number one, we're giving away a signed Trevor Story Rockies jersey. And we're also giving away a really cool Fielder's Choice baseball gift set. This includes a really high-quality wallet made from a vintage baseball glove. I gave one of these to my dad early for Father's Day, and he loves it. It smells awesome. It also includes two low-ball whiskey glasses, two full-grain leather coasters, and leather conditioner. If you want to enter to win, all you have to do is go to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, leave us an honest review about the podcast, then take a screenshot and send it to us at contest@fantasypros.com. All that takes about 30 seconds to do, and you can win one of two really cool giveaways. You can check out the details for all this at fantasypros.com/MLB contest. Who do you want to start with here, Jason?
I would start with Eduardo Escobar. You know, he's a really intriguing guy, man. He hit 35 home runs last year. Plays in a really good lineup. Good park to hit, not quite what it was, but still a good place to hit in Arizona. And you're just seeing the trend line. He had two real good years and then a great year. I think he's learning how to max out what he does best. Really smart people running that team who have helped him. I think there's more there. I'm real bullish on Eduardo Escobar.
You know, it reminds me of A. Eugenio Suarez. He went from, you know, this was a solid player, and then he became a good player. And then last year, he became a very good player. Now he could go backwards, but he's being drafted at ADP 109. And this is somebody who is returning 5th, 6th round value last season. So he would have to regress quite a bit to not return value this year. I love him, multiple positions. And I'm looking at all these players that I think are undervalued. Diamondback. Why is it that nobody realizes how good the Diamondbacks are and they added all these pieces too?
I don't know. That's a playoff team, I think.
Yes, I agree.
You know, especially now if you're going to have expanded playoffs. Unless something goes really wrong there, there's tremendous depth and versatility on that team and just a good team, good lineup.
Right. Injuries can always happen, so of course that's on the table. And they're probably not knocking off the Dodgers, but I think this is a wild card team, absolutely. I'm going to start with another player who really took off last year. It's Danny Santana. And Danny Santana missed some time, and so, you know, we didn't get to see him compile huge numbers like a couple other guys. But 28 homers, 21 steals, missing 30 games, that's still pretty great, right?
He's a lottery ticket for me.
Sure, yeah.
I really don't know whether you're going to get that again. You might get more. You might get zilch. You know?
Absolutely.
That one really was a bolt out of the blue, but you talked about it. He gives you that power-speed combination, and like those guys are so valuable in fantasy. Why the heck not?
Yeah, you look at what Danny Santana did up until last year, and it was really not a ton in his career, and then he took off. Now, we've seen this before, and the players just completely tank the following year. And we've also seen it before with guys like J.D. Martinez and Jose Ramirez, and they become superstars overnight. It's possible with Santana. He was a top 10 fantasy baseball player per game played last year. Now, I'm not expecting anywhere close to that, but if you're telling me I can get him in round 11, round 12, which is where he's going, I'm happy to have him. The next guy on your list is a guy we really haven't talked about much. We've probably done, 40 preseason episodes. And Mitch Garver is being drafted as the number 5 fantasy catcher. He was probably the best offensive catcher in baseball last year. Why is he going this late? Do you think it's just because he hasn't done it before and there's some risk? Do you think he can keep it up?
I don't know if anybody could do that again.
Sure.
that year again. Let me just give you a little historical perspective. Because he hit 31 home runs and only got 359 plate appearances. It's the second fewest plate appearances in history by a guy who hit 30 homers. You want to know who's got the fewest? Who's number one? Come on, give it a guess.
I don't know if Matt Olson reached it his rookie year, but his home runs at bats were incredible.
That was in this millennium, a little farther back. This guy was at the end when it happened, but.
Okay.
You want the name? How about Mark McGwire in 2000?
Oh, sure.
32 homers, 321 trips. So that's the company that Mitch Garver's in. And we don't know how the baseball is going to fly this year. I don't know exactly how much playing time he'll wind up with. But 31 homers in 359 plate appearances as a catcher? Sign me up for that.
That's amazing, isn't it? And you know what? I was so excited when I got a Jason Stark trivia question and I failed. I'm bummed. Maybe I'll get another one later in the show.
It was hard.
I think Mitch Garver being drafted there, it's an absolute steal. Now, I'm waiting a little bit longer to get Wilson Ramos or Salvador Perez just because you can wait another 5 rounds for them. They're very reliable and consistent. And Garver's a little bit of a risk. However, he could also win your league. He could be the number one fantasy catcher this year. All right, my next name is James Paxton, and really all this comes down to is he was injured when a lot of leagues were doing their draft. I don't know if you guys are going to redraft, if you guys haven't done your drafts yet, but if you are, you've got one of the best starting pitchers in the American League. Now, they might play their games in Yankee Stadium, and if they do, that's going to be a hit towards his ratios, but if they're playing all of these games in a neutral ballpark down in Arizona and or Florida, James Paxton, he's one of the best 5-10 pitchers in the American League. And right now he's going in the 12th round. I'm taking him there all day.
Yeah, I don't know if you would have if the season had started on time. But the fact that the season's not starting on time completely changes the way you look at him. Like star talent, great team, big year. It's his free agent year. Look, you've got to absorb injuries because they're always there with him. There's also weird games where he can't repeat his delivery. But then there's those other games where he just freaking dominates.
He's a monster.
Right. So in some ways, he's a lottery ticket because he's not the kind of ace where you just know start to finish what he's going to be. He's not Max Scherzer, right?
Right.
Not DeGrom. But in that next tier, in this territory that we're talking about, there's just a huge upside for him.
Absolutely. You'll notice a lot of the names on my list, by the way, are lottery tickets. I like buying these lottery tickets in the mid-round because if 3 of them turn out to be stars, and we see it every year where these guys develop, like a Blake Snell, a Trevor Bauer, and Shane Bieber. Usually they're fairly easy to predict who could break out, but then you've got the Freddie Peraltas who they could break out and then they fall. So what? You just drop them and you pick up somebody else who is breaking out. I like to buy the upside guys, and you've got one as your next player, Jesus Luzardo. I am all aboard on this ball.
Yeah. So excited.
Yeah. How many times have we seen these rookie starting pitchers just be special right away?
Right. You know, the only worry with him is the volume, but just super intrigued by the arm and the talent. And, you know, the sense I get is other people in the sport feel the same way. And that, like, that always tells me something when there's buzz about a guy within the sport. Just how about the numbers after he got called up last year? I mean, I know he's pitching out of the pen. I know the role's different, but a 1.5 ERA right out of the chute in the big leagues, pumping 98 miles an hour. Wow. He might not have quite the innings yet, but star power. Oh, if you can get him in this area, do it.
I think this is very similar to Chris Paddock last year, but a better version, actually. And really what it came down to for Paddock was, we know he's not going to throw 150 innings. He's going to be on an innings limit. Luzardo's not either, but if they only play 100 games, he can pitch pretty much the whole season. His arm's going to be fine, probably.
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, all these guys like that, where you were worried about how many innings were in there, it becomes way less of a factor in an abbreviated season, for sure.
Yeah, I was going to put Lance McCullers in this list as well. I've talked about McCullers enough, though, that the listeners probably don't want to hear me rant on how great McCullers is and how great of a steal he is right now. So we'll save that one. But he's another guy who's an innings limit guy that I think is going to help quite a bit in fantasy. Now, my next player was maybe the best relief pitcher in baseball last year, but he wasn't getting saves. Now, I don't know if he's going to get saves this year. Even if he doesn't, I think he's going to return value at where he's being drafted. But if he does get saves, if he's the closer in Tampa Bay, Nick Anderson could be the number one closer in fantasy baseball.
Totally. I don't know if they're going to name a closer, period. I doubt it. They did, but they did trade away the guy who led their team in saves last year. And like, how many people are walking around our planet who faced 78 hitters with their team the previous year and struck out 41 of them?
No, none.
Like, if he went to Tampa Bay, the numbers are video game numbers. 78 hitters, 41 strikeouts, 14 guys reached base on him. Wow.
He was amazing before that in Miami, too. I thought that yes, the Rays were getting to steal. And then he was even better. It was unbelievable. Whip of .65. The guy is phenomenal. I get it. He's 28 years old. We haven't seen it before. But he's the real deal. His stuff, you watch him, he's phenomenal. And what I'm doing with the Rays, okay, maybe Nick Anderson isn't the closer. But, you know, if he's not, I'm drafting Jose Alvarado as well. You know, I'm drafting Diego Castillo as well. I'm going to get 40 saves out of those three guys. And whoever it's not, I'll drop him unless it's Nick Anderson. Then I'll keep him, just use his ratios and strikeouts.
Yes, the saves are going to come from that group. And they're all monster arms and a real good team.
All right, Jason, your next player is another high upside young starting pitcher, Zach Gallen. Another guy from the Arizona Diamondbacks. I love what he did last season. I don't really know why they traded him straight up for Jazz Chisholm. But man, what a steal for the Diamondbacks. I'm excited to see what he does in his career.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, he's kind of the pitching Mitch Garver to me. I don't understand why there isn't more buzz about him. Sub-3 ERA for two different teams. Lots of swings and misses for two different teams. And I don't see anything about what he did last year that wasn't real. You worry about the health of anybody. All pitchers get hurt. They all do. But this is just what he was always projected to be, only maybe a little better. And he just kept doing it, even as the league adjusted to him. Really high on Zach Gallen.
He was one of these guys in the minor leagues. He kept putting up these great numbers without the filthy stuff. And he wasn't a big-time prospect because of that. But in 2019, he might have been the best relief minor league pitcher in baseball before they called him up. He's phenomenal. I think he is a great value in, again, the 12th round. Let's just keep this rolling. Julio Urias, and he's still so young. But what he's done to this point, even pitching through injuries, he's just been absolutely incredible out of the bullpen. Now we get to see him in the rotation. Likely, wins are so hard to predict, but when you're with the Dodgers, you know you're going to pick up a bunch of wins. I think this guy could be a Cy Young contender before long. I don't think it's going to happen right away this year, but his ratios are going to be excellent. And again, it's just a matter of the innings. I think he gets enough innings to be a fantasy relevant pitcher right away in 2020.
It's spectacular stuff, and it's a spectacular arm. You know, here's my worry on him. You mentioned that the innings will be there, but you know, one of the things that the Dodgers don't care about is wins. And they don't care about how many innings you get on any particular trip to the mound. I mean, suppose he has a bunch of games where he dominates for four and a third, 4 2/3, 3 2/3, whatever it is, and then he's out of there. And so he doesn't even qualify for the wins. Those are really my only concerns about him. Everything else is there, but the Dodgers...
It's a great point.
The stuff that drives fantasy production is stuff the Dodgers don't care about at all.
Sure. Yeah, I absolutely love that stuff, though. Like, so many people are complaining, come on, this is ruining baseball. The Rays are using an opener. What I want to see is the most competitive teams doing everything they can to win, period. That's what makes baseball great. I love the shift. I love the opener. I just want to see these teams doing as much as they can to win.
Well, that's where we are now.
Yes.
You know, there's so many smart people now making so many smart decisions that, you know, it's definitely altered the landscape of the sport. It's altered the landscape of fantasy. And, you know, I say this all the time, what makes for great baseball strategy doesn't always make for great entertainment strategy.
That's right.
But the Dodgers don't care about your entertainment strategy or your fantasy team.
Sure.
They're going to win 109 games or whatever it winds up being, and they'll do it however they need to do it. Just all that depth and all that versatility and all those interchangeable parts and just so much talent. I worry Urias could get swept up in that a little bit, but it does feel like they need him in a different way than they have in the past. So I understand your pick.
You want to talk about entertainment value. We've got some great, highly entertaining players, and one of them is Shohei Ohtani. I mean, this kid is still so young. Before he came over, Hideki Matsui, when he came over, was an immediate MVP candidate. Ohtani was just as good of a hitter over in Japan. When Yu Darvish came over, he immediately struck out 260 guys. Ohtani was just as good over in Japan. He's so good on both sides of the plate. I love that you've got him on your list here.
He's really my favorite guy in the whole sport to watch this year. Especially now that it's going to be an abbreviated season. You don't have to wait for him to get back on the mound. Like, here's a couple little nuggets for you. Same career ERA plus as Gerrit Cole. That's 127.
Oh, man.
Same career OPS at the plate as Freddie Freeman. All right, so, I mean, basically, he's going to hit. That's what he's going to do most of the time. So you're getting theoretically Freddie Freeman type productions. And by the way, when he pursues his hobby once a week on the mound, he's Gerrit Cole. I say this all the time. This is a real person, and he's playing our sport.
It's amazing
what he does.
It's so exciting. You know, you look at his per 162 game average since he came over. This just gives you an idea of how he stacks up compared to all the other fantasy players. If he was to play full time as a hitter, 31 bombs, 17 steals, 286 batting average, 95 ribbies. That's a second round fantasy player. Now, he's not going to play every day, so you can't draft him there. But where he's going in the mid rounds? Are you kidding me? I'm getting him every time.
Yeah, it's just impact. You know, every time he does anything, it's star level impact.
Yeah.
So as long as you understand what he is and what he isn't, you're getting just incredible value when he plays.
Here's a player I'm really excited about. When he got called back up last year with the Toronto Blue Jays, he was phenomenal. He was on a 40 home run pace, batting 290. Lourdes Gurriel Jr., he came with a lot of hype when he came out of Cuba, and he didn't quite realize it right away. You know, when baseball players take a full year off like he did and his brother did, it takes a while to reacclimate to his skill set. Now we're starting to see it, and I think he could be one of those breakout Jorge Soler-type players this year.
That's possible. All the heralded sons of famous players on that team, they cornered the market on him. He gets the least attention. And, I mean, I would prefer, if I was going to do a draft of those sons on that team, I would take Bo Bichette first. I take Vladdy second. You almost have to. But Lourdes Gurriel is a guy who, now that I think he knows where he fits on that team, knows his position, and his second half was so good. There were stretches there where there was nobody they wanted to have at the plate more than him. Really intrigued by what he can be.
That young team is so exciting. Now, I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs right away, but in the future, they've got a lot to be excited about there in Toronto.
Yeah. How many games did they lose last year? They lost 90 games, right? This is the most fun 90-loss team ever.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. They were having a blast doing it as well. I hope Vlad Jr. becomes what everyone hoped he would. I mean, he's still so young. And how many times have we seen these superstars who struggle in their first year, maybe even their second and third year, and then they just become perennial MVP candidates? I hope it happens right now. I want to see him play up to his... I mean, I don't want to put too lofty of a comp on him, but you look at what he did in the minor leagues. There was nobody else besides Miguel Cabrera, Albert Pujols, who did what he did in the last 20 years in the minors, 30 years.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, you know, watching him this spring, back in spring training 1.0, he looked so much better.
Good.
He's in way better shape. I know they feel like he'll have way better focus. And, you know, his minor league career was greater than his father's minor league career. And, you know, we've never really seen anything like that in baseball, where you had a Hall of Fame player whose son then had a better career or had a Hall of Fame career. There's no precedent for that in almost any sport. So look out.
The closest, Bobby Bonds and Barry Bonds, obviously.
In our sport. Yeah. I mean, yeah. The Hals, they're like, there's the Earnhardts. But in baseball, there's never been anything like what Vladdy has a chance to do.
It's really exciting. You know, I was also really excited when I saw your list. I saw Reyes listed here under Ohtani. And as a Cardinals fan, I immediately thought, oh, he's going to hype up Alex Reyes. Now, obviously, it's Franmil Reyes. I'm really excited about Alex Reyes. I hope he gets a shot in the rotation. But let's talk about Franmil. This is a mountain of a man who could crush 50 homers. Now, I'm not banking on that, but you're drafting a guy who's got some of the best power in the league, and now he moves out of San Diego's ballpark into a better ballpark for a full season. Is he going to play every day? And if he does, what can we expect?
Yeah, that's the issue. You know, you said it. He's the human skyscraper. He just, when he walks around, just looking at him, you're blown away by what a monstrous, humongous human being he is. And he's got a personality that lights up every room that he enters. And they are super excited by what he could be. 37 home runs, playing most of the year in Petco and then the rest in Cleveland. That is eye-popping.
Isn't it?
The only thing to worry about is they want him to play the outfield, need him to play the outfield. Can he do that?
Yeah.
If he can't, that could impact playing time. You know, but they're extremely creative there. The manager's the best in the business, Terry Francona. I think they figure it out. I mean, if you're buying stock this year, I came away from spring training thinking I am buying stock in Franmil Reyes.
I love that call. And I love the Indians winning the AL Central this year. Now, I know the Twins ran away with it last year. They were excellent. The Twins are going to be great again, but you look at the Indians lineup, it's much improved. You look at their bullpen, it's much improved. You look at their rotation. If Carrasco can stay healthy, it's maybe the top three in all of baseball. The Indians are a very dangerous team, and I think a lot of people are overlooking them.
They're off to a really good start in these simulated seasons, if that tells us anything at all.
I noticed that, yes. I was talking about Alex Reyes. Now, his teammate Carlos Martinez is moving into the rotation. Last year, he talked about how he didn't really take his conditioning with his shoulder seriously, so they put him in the bullpen. This year, he says he's in the best shape of his life. And when we've seen him in the rotation, it's been nothing but a very good, reliable fantasy pitcher. 3.22 ERA over 110 starts. That'll do.
You know, I don't know what it is about Carlos Martinez. I just don't trust him. You know, I didn't like the idea of having a guy come back and admit that he didn't do all the conditioning he should have done to get back.
Oh, I agree.
You know, that just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And I feel like dependability is the most important quality in sports and in life. And so
sure,
I'd almost take dependability over stuff. Carlos Martinez gives you great stuff and great moments, but I'm not convinced yet you're going to get a great season from him. So of all the guys that you've mentioned so far, he's the one that scares me the most, I think.
Sure. So somebody around his range is Kyle Hendricks. He's dependable. So I'm assuming you would rather have a pitcher like him, like Rio from Toronto, Bumgarner from the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, I like players who, when you start the year, you have a reasonable feel for what you're going to get. Carlos Martinez is not on that list.
I think it's fair to say that there's no chance I'll be dropping any of those three starting pitchers I named besides Martinez unless they get hurt. Carlos Martinez, there's a scenario where it all comes crashing down. I definitely understand that and agree with it. Your next player on your list, Max Kepler, another masher in the AL Central.
Another guy with a star skill set. Guy that there's been buzz about inside the sport. People kind of been waiting for what you saw last year. And he made a big adjustment at the plate. I believe he led the league in pull percentage, right? And so turned into 36 home runs. And I think that's what that whole team is going to do. The whole team is going to hit, everybody in that team is going to hit 35 if they don't hit 45. And he fits right in, and he's such a good defender that they want him out there. I feel like Max Kepler has a chance to morph into a star. And if he's a star, he's a fantasy star.
A lot of people look at Kepler and they say, well, he's been in the league for 4 years. Like, isn't this who he is? Why is he going to get better? Guys, he's only been playing the sport for 10 years. He came out of Germany, learned the sport, immediately realized he was great at it. And here he is. He's still a little bit raw. He could become one of these MVP candidate type of hitters in my mind. He hit 36 homers last year in just 134 games. He's amazing. I love this call. Absolutely love it.
Oh, good. Me too. Yeah, good player.
Yeah, I'll go through my next one really quick. It's Wilson Ramos. I already mentioned him. Just super reliable at catcher. And after you get through that sixth, seventh catcher on the fantasy list, it's a bunch of dart throws. I don't really want to do that at the position, be streaming for matchups all year. I want someone that I can plug in, 290 batting average, 15 home runs, 70 runs scored. I'll take that.
Talk about guys that you know what you're going to get. I guess Wilson Ramos is going to hit forever. I don't know if you can bet on health. You're not going to get any speed type stuff.
Right? Sure.
The defense, it does make you wonder whether there could come a time where that rotation gets a little uncomfortable with pitching to him. And so his playing time starts to decline because of health and synchronicity with the pitching staff. But I really would bet on him to hit forever.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, we're not just 290 batting average. Like, that's great. It's not super exciting. But when you compare it to the rest of the position, when the average fantasy catcher is batting 245, this is essentially like having a guy in your team who's batting 310 because of the value over replacement. And of course, he's not going to steal any bases, but the only catcher who really steals bases is somehow Yadi Molina. I don't know how he's always racking up 5-10 stolen bases every year, but catchers don't steal bases. So Ramos.
Molinas don't steal bases.
Yeah. All right, moving on to your next guy here. You've got David Dahl. And this is somebody who has a track record of injuries, but it's a lot of really fluky injuries. Is this somebody that you could consider injury prone, or is it just he's going to be fine? He's got the same injury risk as anybody else, and when he's on the field, we know what he's going to do, and it's something special.
Yeah, and there's also this. When in doubt, take a Rocky.
Right, sure.
There's no doubt at all, no debate at all about David Dahl's bat-to-ball skills, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
You know that's there, and that will always be there. I do worry about the low walk rate a little bit, and the quality of the at-bats. You would think there'd be more home runs there for a guy with his basic hit tool and considering where he plays. But he's still young. I just think, assuming that you don't have this another one of these freak injury type deals, and you just get him on the field, I think he's going to hit. I just believe.
Yeah, and it's not like one of these guys with the Rockies. They've got how many players for three positions? Left field, first base, second base. Daniel Murphy, Ryan McMahon, Garrett Hampson, Brandon Rogers down in the minor leagues, who I think has as much upside as any of them. Ian Desmond, Sam Hilliard, Tapia. If David Dahl's healthy, he's playing every day, just like Charlie Blackman, Trevor Story, Nolan Arenado. So you can draft him with confidence just as long as he stays healthy. And I don't see any reason why he won't. He's a hitter through and through.
Yeah, so many questions about that team. I don't feel like he's one of them.
Yep, I agree with that. All right, my next guy is JD Davis. And everyone remembers last year when he was sitting on the bench only playing every once in a while, you look at his batting ball skills. And I'm just like, come on, let's get him in the lineup every day. And then finally, an injury forced their hand and they had to play him. And he was awesome. I think he's going to continue to be this hitter. He's always been this great hitter. And the Astros just had so many that they had to move on from him. But down in the minor leagues, he was one of the best hitters in the minor leagues before he got called up and traded.
He was. And he helped the Astros. And he got hits in some big spots in October. And nothing changed in New York, just the playing time. I don't really have any big fears about JD Davis and what he's going to be. If I was going to think of one, I mean, it is a little shaky in the outfield, right? So there is the possibility that defense undermines his playing time, but it might also mean he gets to play some in the infield, to play some at third base, and then you've got two position flexibility. So the lousy outfield defense could actually have some fantasy upside, right?
Sure, and he's one of these guys as well that, if the National League installs the DH, and I'm not sure if we're going to be playing in, you know, the Grapefruit League and the Cactus League or what's going to happen. We'll know more, hopefully within a week or two. But if the DH is installed, that's going to really help a player like JD Davis. He's going to play every single day.
He will. Absolutely. He will. Mets need him.
Next player on your list, and this is one that I'm not so convinced of quite yet, just because the strikeout stuff wasn't there until last year. And the fact that it came last year when he was coming back from an injury, Sean Manaea, it's really exciting. I wonder what he's going to be. I'm just not sure he's ever going to be this 160, 170 strikeout guy. Do you see something different? He was excellent when he came back last year. 5 starts, 1.21 ERA.
Yeah, and also the best strikeout rate and best swing and miss rate of his career. They've definitely refined his pitch mix some, and I was really bullish on him when he pitched that no-hitter, and he was the key guy in that deal when the in that A's-Royals deal, which involved Ben Zobrist, right? That he was Billy Beane's target. Shoulders scare me. I'll admit that shoulders scare me, but I mean, we're talking about a middle to late round pick. They won him. They're going to give him every opportunity to show that what we saw in September was real. And I think it was.
The A's are a really exciting team because they add Luzardo. They're going to add AJ Puck. They add Manaea. And this team already won a ton of games. I mean, the A's are a really dangerous team. I'm not saying they're going to knock off the Astros, but they could. I think they could.
Totally could. Back-to-back 96 win teams that nobody even realized won 96.
Exactly. Yeah, this guy's 6'5", 250, pumping in gas. I remember when he was back at Indiana State and everyone was saying this guy's in contention for the 101 pick. And then he had the injury. And so he dropped to, I believe it was a supplemental picks in the first round. He has that 101 potential. Maybe he's finally starting to realize it. I really hope that's the case. I want as many great players in baseball as possible. And I think he could be one of them. This is somebody else that I think is a very good pitcher. All the underlying metrics scream, hey, this guy's a superstar. Now, we didn't get to see the Dodgers use him in that way, but now that he's freed in Minnesota to be himself, maybe no innings limit, Kenta Maeda, how good can he be?
Super underrated. You know, like all that stuff I said about dependability when we were talking about Carlos Martinez, that's what Kenta Maeda gives you. Just a very consistent, dependable guy. Gone to a real good team that's going to score runs. And I think there's also this element, Bobby. The Twins need him in their rotation more than the Dodgers did. The Dodgers just continually messed with him and everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, they can just bring up Ross Stripling and give Maeda a rest. Why not? Get him ready for the playoffs.
I've kidded Andrew Friedman that he doesn't even really care about the whole concept of a rotation. You know, because they could literally go through the whole season and never have the same five guys start twice in a row.
Right.
They just constantly tinkering, tweaking, matching up, giving guys a break, moving them to the pen, injuries that I know some of the teams they play aren't convinced are real injuries, all that stuff.
And, of course.
You know, so Kenta Maeda, I wouldn't say he paid the price for that, but the potential impact in Minnesota, I think, is so much greater than it was almost at any point in L.A. I don't know if he's going to be a superstar, but
right.
Definitely underrated.
You know, I was hyping up the Indians just a few moments ago. I'm looking at first of all, the Twins obviously have an incredible lineup, but they've got Berríos, Maeda, Rich Hill, who's now going to be healthy on opening day, and Odorizzi. That's a great top four to go with that lineup. A very good bullpen as well.
I think they're one of the fun teams in the sport on every level. And they haven't been perceived that way. Even last year when they won, that they were kind of a curiosity. You're going to see this year how real it was.
You talk about Ohtani as being one of your most exciting, maybe the most exciting player in all of baseball. For me, it's Byron Buxton. I love watching him go out there day in and day out, crashing into walls. Just an absolute blazer on the base paths, too. There's so many fun players in baseball.
That's what keeps us coming back for more.
Absolutely.
I'd like to actually see some of them play sometime. But Byron Buxton, I've seen him do things in the outfield that I didn't know were possible.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that Andrew Jones thing where, all right, the ball leaves the bat, and your brain says, all right, that's a double. That's a gapper. And then it's in his glove. That's Byron Buxton.
Right, absolutely. He makes very difficult plays look easy.
Yes, and makes, I mean, he makes the spectacular play also. In fact, it's been a problem. You know, at a certain point, you got to learn that instinct for self-preservation.
Right.
And that's cost him. It's cost him playing time. But there's a reason that he got drafted where he did. And I hope that we're talking about a guy who still has a chance to be a star, because it's all in there. He could be, to me, he's a modern day Eric Davis waiting to happen.
Oh, I love that. I love that comp. Yeah, him, Kevin Kiermaier, Harrison Bader. We've got some exciting young defenders in the outfield.
Oh yeah, there's some center fielders who can go get it.
All right, and the final player on your list here, Mike Foltynewicz. This is another guy like Mania who came back last year and started to really put it together at the end of the season. Coming back from the injury, he didn't look too sharp right away, but back in 2018, he was an all-star. 2.85 ERA, 200 strikeouts. Can he get back to that in 2020?
Well, if you look at his numbers after he came back from that tune-up or whatever it was,
sure,
in the minor leagues last year in Gwinnett, 6-1 with a 2.65. And I wouldn't say he did it quite the same as we'd seen in 2018, but, you know, I used to do a regular radio hit in Chicago, and I still remember Cubs, Braves, Mike Foltynewicz was pitching that night, and they said to me, anything we should know about Mike Foltynewicz? And I said, yeah, he's an ace. It's ace-type stuff. I mean, maybe he's not Walker Buehler, but it's spectacular, dominant stuff. And we didn't see it as much last year. We did see flashes of it at the end. But if that's what's in there, why would you not roll the dice on that, considering where he's been going in these drafts?
I love it. I love it, absolutely. My final player, Lorenzo Cain. And I've been naming a lot of like high upside younger guys. Cain's 34 years old. But Lorenzo Cain had a dip last year, a down year, and you look at the underlying metrics and it say, oh, it was just a little bit of a fluke. He's still a very good player, and he's someone who consistently bats 300 with 25 stolen bases. I don't know if the 25 steals are there anymore, maybe 15, 20, but he's going to hit double-digit homers as well with the high batting average, and you can get him late in drafts. I'll tell you what, my two favorite fantasy outfielders based on their value in drafts are both the Brewers, Lorenzo Cain, Avisail Garcia.
Interesting. You know, I love Lorenzo Cain as a player. I've never trusted how it translates to fantasy, so just interested how you see it. There's no big numbers really in any category other than batting average when he gets it going.
really what it comes down to for me, and you're right, the home runs aren't going to be there. The RBIs, he's probably not even going to have 50. He hasn't in any of the last three seasons. But those are stats that are easier to get in fantasy later, you know, around pick 200. Pick at the very last round of your draft, you can get Randall Grichuk, 30, 35 home runs, 80, 85 RBIs. It's easy to get those statistics later. You can't make up for batting average and stolen bases very easy, or runs. And to be able to get those three in, what is it, the 16th, 17th round, I'm happy to be able to find a player like Lorenzo Cain there when there is nobody else like him in that range.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, obviously, nobody runs anymore. Nobody steals bases. He still does that to some degree. He's got a good fit in what I think will be a good lineup again. I don't think they're quite as good as what they've been maybe the last couple of years. But if we're talking a later round flyer kind of guy and he's healthy, yeah, why not?
Sure. Yeah, and that's about where he's going. He's going a lot later than most of the players we talked about. He's down around the 200 ADP range with Carlos Martinez, and believe it or not, James Paxton. Actually, Paxton's ADP has been coming up over the last month with all the news coming out. But yeah, that's about where those guys are being drafted. Jason, that's all for today's show. As always, a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for carving out the time.
Bobby, my pleasure. Big fan of Fantasy Pros, so keep up the great work.
Thanks for saying that, Jason. All right, guys, give Jason a follow on Twitter if you don't already. Actually, if you don't, what are you doing with your life? It's at JasonST. I'm at Bobby Fantasy Pro. All right, and I want to remind you all to enter for the two giveaways we've got going on right now. We're giving away a signed Trevor Story Rockies jersey, and we're giving away a Fielder's Choice baseball gift set. You can check out the details at fantasypros.com/MLB contest. For Jason Stark, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your baseball.